thank you so much, BBS Radio, for making it possible for this show to be heard worldwide live. Today is February the 3rd, 2021. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in California. We wait for Winfrey and Terry Brown to present themselves here in a moment. They are located in Sedona, Arizona. And as usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call, and the thing you heard is another person joining in. Good evening to you. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Debbie, Costa Mesa.
Good evening, Debbie. Welcome.
Thank you, dear.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Anyone else I have missed, feel free to say your name and location. I thank you all for being here. And those listening in online through BBS, thank you also for being here. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Joy in Squim, Washington.
Welcome, Joy. Good evening.
Hi, hi.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hey.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. For the next caller, welcome. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Good evening, Roger. Welcome.
Hi, Roger.
Evening. Hi,
Roger.
Hi.
And if you're calling in, or actually calling in, if you're listening in through BBS Radio Online, and if you would not be familiar with what we do, well, you probably are, else you wouldn't be here. But also after this show, questions and answers with the Elohim, we go over to another show, which is only accessible by phone, a conference call, which is our daily Whole Planet Healing Gathering, where we do go through some stages of calling in the love light, paying attention to the current state of the planet in regards to earthquakes and volcanoes, and we do our personal issues we can put into the love light, and wind goes over the common list of areas for protection that we have worldwide that we want to pay attention to. And the phone number for that call you can find at wholeplanethealing.com. Here we have two more people joined in. Welcome. Feel free to say your names and locations.
Hi, it's Dharmananda.
Welcome, Dharmananda.
And it's Wanda.
Thank you. Hi, Dharmananda.
Good evening, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Hello, everyone.
All right. And good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. And of course, only if you want to, we welcome you. And for those that just listened to what I said about the Whole Planet Healing call, I'm going to give you the phone number in case you want to call in. If you have pen and paper ready, the phone number right after this show, 7 days a week at 7 p.m., the phone number 712-770-4340, access code 250-513-pound. Two more calls to join in. Welcome. Feel free to say names and locations. But only if you want to, we welcome you. And the next caller, welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, Foggy Greetings. Hi, good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice too, Raiden. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Terry.
Hey, this is Terry in Sedona.
Welcome to have you.
Hi.
Like you just popped in out of the ethers.
And if you just joined in online through BBS Radio, good evening to you. Welcome to Questions and Answers with the Elohim. And if you want to, you can submit a question per email to win, and the email address is questions at intelligent-infinity.com. Wynn goes through those questions during the show and will ask those questions. If they apply, there are certain restrictions. We'll ask those questions through Terry Brown to our sources from the Ra Group and the Elohim Group. Questions at intelligent-infinity.com. There's no question too crazy unless it's really too crazy. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hello, John. Welcome.
Hello, guys. I had to call in 5 times before I finally got in.
You made it.
I don't know what happened. If there's some problem with the line.
Yeah. Good evening and welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Cecil here.
Hi, Cecil. Welcome.
Hi, Cecil.
Thank you. Hi, family. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting here looking at other stuff, and somebody from the other side kicked me in the side of the head and said, hey, it's Wednesday.
That was me.
Oh, good. Thank you. Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Yeah, I didn't know today was Wednesday either. Lynn walked in and said, it's Wednesday. And I was an hour off from the time, too.
I've got an alarm set for 10 to 7 for every night, but not for the Monday and Wednesday calls. I got to figure out how to get an alarm for them.
Yeah. You want to know what I think is the most amazing question, one of the most amazing questions anybody asked?
What's that?
Somebody said that I was on my lunch break and I saw a light with a cross in the middle aimed on the wall, and I took a picture of it, and here's the picture. And so the sources said, well, it was a beam from a satellite, and it was testing the integrity of the wall. And and so then I happened to be on the internet, and I saw this cliff, and it had a light with a cross, same light with the same cross in the middle of it. It was aimed at the cliff in France, and so it's like it's apparently, you know, there's some project that's testing the integrity of walls and cliffs and stuff like that. Mapping.
Maybe somebody on the dark side testing out holograms to try to get our attention to other things.
It might also be on the light side.
Right.
It also be in the what?
It might
on
also be on the light side instead of the dark side.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There are good people too, you know, Cecil.
Oh, darn, I forgot that.
You being one of them, Cecil.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Are you guys ready?
Wynn, welcome.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Wynn.
Let's do this. 6:11.
Hey, Wynn.
I was eavesdropping to see what everyone was going to say.
You sneaky thing, you.
Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. This is Jennifer from Greensburg.
Welcome, Jennifer. Good to have you.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, guys.
Ready to go in? Yes, but no. No, but yes.
Ready.
Muted.
I'm going to mute the dings, and it is the 3rd of February.
The recording has started.
This is February 3rd, 2021, and this is Questions and Answers with the Elohim. It's actually with the Elohim and the Ra Group, and my name is Winfrey, and I've been talking to these guys for years. Now we do it publicly, and the best way to figure out what it means for you is to listen to the answers. You don't have to believe anything, and we're just going to jump right into it, okay? These are all questions that people emailed me today. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy flowing from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you. You have reached the translation unit of the Elohim and the Ra Group, and we translate and we coordinate and we bring in any factors within the Elohim group or grace or within the Ra group that would be specifically qualified to answer your question. And we do this for the purpose of assisting and making your realm as much as possible a better place. And that makes our realm a better place. And all of everything a better place. If we ever see anything that doesn't make total sense to you, disregard it. Yes, it is not for you at that time. Do you have questions?
Yes, I do. And the first question is from Joy. When we ask for our DNA to be activated, does this mean going from 2 strands to 12? With our DNA being altered here by the negative, is there any DNA we don't want to have activated? Joy.
Well, the question is somewhat limiting. But if there's damage to the DNA, it doesn't necessarily mean that strands have been deactivated, although it could have been deactivated by default because of the non-operation or effective operation of the DNA. So when you ask for it to be activated, if you specifically ask for the DNA strands that are inactive to be activated, then that's what will be put in the light, and that's what you will see. It's not like that it would, if it hasn't been activated, the certain strands, it's like vestige of an activated DNA strand, and it would need to be developed. And then as it was developed, it would then be interactive. So it depends upon what you ask for and what your intent is. Do you want a repair of inactivated DNA that previously was activated and somehow became inactivated, or do you wish more strands to be activated? So when you placed your intention, it will contain the information in that of what you wish, and this will put the light on that and what can be focused on.
I would like to ask some questions for clarification on this question.
Right.
We have 12 strands of DNA, but each strand has, I forget what they're called, okay? But they have a number of things that are part of that strand that are also activated. Do you know what I'm referring to?
We are giving Terry a picture of a node, a spinning node that is capable of in taking information and modifying it to fit the circumstances and then feeding it to the body so the body can act in an appropriate way.
Mm-hmm. Are you calling the nodes I call them substrands of the strands. There's a name for them. Lauren, I'm sure, knows the name.
Yes.
Base pairs.
Hello?
Say it again.
You're talking about base pairs of chromosomes?
Maybe it's chromosomes. What are chromosomes?
I'm asking about base pairs. That's the most basic building block of DNA, is the base pairs.
Don, you're too close to your microphone.
Well, let me say it another way. You know, there's a lot more, since your DNA is a blueprint for your body and for your soul. Your DNA is a blueprint for your body. So,
it is an activated imaging device for that changes with time or information, and then becomes the blueprint.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it needs to carry a lot more information than 12 variations. Okay? I would.
Yes, it has all of the variation and gradations of the imaging that is needed for the operation of the body.
Yes.
If you look at it as just two strands, it would not have enough information. It contains the chromosomes and the components and all of the information needed to feed to the body for operation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it is storing a huge amount of information.
It is activation in process.
Yes. And so what are the divisions in it that allow it to store so much information?
It is hologramic, and in the hologram you can store as much information as there is to store. It is hologramic, so it is not space shortage.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joy referred to if your DNA gets screwed up, the idea being that the negative, you know, can screw it up. Genetically modified, GMO, for example.
There are various ways it could get screwed up. Like it could be replaced with non-human DNA, AI, it could have elements in it replaced, which would, in a sense, cripple the beautiful mechanism that it is towards keeping the individual on track in its environment.
In the answer to previous questions, I just looked up DNA. The complete set of your DNA is called your genome. It contains 3 billion bases, 20,000 genes, and 23 pairs of chromosomes. 3 billion bases, okay. You inherit your DNA from your father and half from your mother.
Yes.
This DNA comes from the sperm and egg. But then you have the soul that comes in, and the soul then impacts the DNA.
It helps to provide intention, direction, and instruction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And genes actually make up very little of your genome, only 1%. The other 99% helps to regulate things like when, how, and in what quantity proteins are produced.
Yes.
The DNA code is prone to damage. In fact, it's estimated that tens of thousands of DNA damage events occur every day in each of our cells. Damage can occur due to things like errors in DNA replication, free radicals,
yes,
and exposure
yes
to UV,
UV radiation. But never fear, your cells have specialized proteins that are able to detect and repair many cases of DNA damage. In fact, there are at least five major DNA repair pathways. Now, something that we have discussed about in the past was the unified field, the energy of the universe, the energies that we are letting into our body cause the DNA to open up the strands. Now, I just always call them the strands and not all the sub-things of the strands. But when
there are things to connect the more strands, which the star tracks, the star information that flood the world. Medians.
Mm-hmm.
Grids. These can all have a social effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the more strands that open, the more an individual is open towards energies coming in from the stars. And the more strands that open, the wider awareness the body can have for environmental energies.
Mm-hmm. Because Joy's question is, well, she had two questions. When we ask our DNA to activate, when we're doing the calls, there's an energy on the calls. I have this idea that aside from all the subdivisions, the first seven strands of DNA approximately represent your first seven chakras. So when you're open to a chakra, like the heart chakra, for example, then that would be activating your fourth strand of DNA.
It would work in conjunction with each other.
Yeah,
and
but your fourth strand doesn't just stay open at that point. It closes. It's only open when
according
you're in the
to circumstances.
Yeah, it only opens when you're in the energy of that. So if you want to keep your fourth chakra activated, you then need to create a life where your heart is open. You want to confirm, am I correct when I say that?
Well, if you have a life of a miser that doesn't like people and doesn't want to go out and is like Scrooge, it's like then the heart chakra tends to fall into disuse, not entirely because you need some love and connection to be able to survive, but the more that active you are in communicating and connecting with others, the more open that chakra becomes, and the more that your DNA along that line would be active.
Mm-hmm. So when we're on our calls and we're bringing in energy on the call, I have the idea that we have different chakras open during the call, and that it's activating our DNA.
not uniformly, but as the individuals open to things and interact.
Yes. So it's a constant process to keep your DNA open to the maximum degree. And I wouldn't expect...
Well, you don't... an individual normally doesn't just say, okay, now I'm going to work very hard on keeping my heart chakra open. It's like they need to respond to circumstances. And in the circumstances, they wouldn't want to keep their heart chakra open. And the appropriate thing would be to close it down for the night.
But you can't say heart chakra open. But what you can do is if you can recognize when your heart chakra is open, you can look at the circumstances where it opens, and then you can direct your life to be involved in those kind of circumstances more frequently.
You could do this. For instance, perhaps there are people that you would not like to keep your heart chakra open around. It would not be appropriate response.
Just because you have your heart chakra open does not mean you're being vulnerable to that person. You can keep it open, and the people that gravitate towards it will be attracted to you.
Right. However, if you run into a mugger on the street, then perhaps it would mean that you would like a different response for that period.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we might do a whole call on this because it's a complex situation. And it's not easy to understand.
It is very complex, and it is changing momentarily for everyone.
Yeah. And, you know, people here, to graduate and get into fourth density, you need to have your heart chakra open 51%. So that makes a person ambitious at that point. But they may not know what to do. So chances are they don't. They say, how do I keep my heart chakra open? When you have...
Or how do I stay around people who it is appropriate to have your heart chakra open and you don't get burned?
Yeah. Okay. All right, I think we'll go to the next question.
Now, we say one last thing. Like, let's say that beyond it all, your heart chakra is open, but you shut down the aspects. Keeping your heart chakra open towards the best welfare of ethics and in a compromised situation, you could still in the background have your heart chakra open as you apply ethics to the situation.
Okay. Next question is from Dharmananda in Boulder Creek, California. A thought recently came to me that there may be buried treasure on the property. I muscle tested this and got a yes. Can you tell me if this is really true? Or am I imagining it?
Which property? Your property? Your house property in Santa Cruz area?
I think that's what he means. The property where he lives.
Okay. Have you checked for minerals, for instance? Have you checked for potential of gold and antimony in a vein underneath the surface? That is our answer.
How, I don't know if you know how to answer this, but how would one check for that?
We ask if there is technology for seeing underground and for analyzing that type of thing.
Okay. That's a good answer. So perhaps, perhaps there is. You know, he might use a dowsing rod if he's any good at it and see what that says.
Yes, some people are. Yes.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, he did his own muscle testing. And he got a yes, but muscle testing is very subjective.
See if there is an area of your property where you get a bigger you get a bigger response than others.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Next question. I have been remembering and experiencing a lot of dreams lately with lots
of... Who is this from?
Built, this is from Edgina. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. With lots of building of events and analysis of these events. This includes blocks or structured dreams, and mathematics is also involved. Could the sources please tell me what it is all about? What am I working on? And what is this all specific related? And what is this all specifically related to? I really appreciate your answering and giving some clarity.
Could you read that part about the dreams, what is in the dreams, blocks, you said?
Includes blocks or structured dreams, and mathematics is also involved.
The structures have to do with solidifying areas of action within your life. The blocks represent solidification of different areas in their relationships to other areas within your life. So write down your dreams and get some more specifics and see how your dreams change from day to day and the underlying thread between them. You will have more and more specific information as you write down particular dreams, and you can ask here of a specific dream. Thank you.
Thank you. She also asked the questions. Could you tell me what it's all about? What am I working on? And what is this specifically related to? I really appreciate some clarity.
Overall, it is a representation of the different areas, the structure of your particular areas and categories within your life. And to get more specifics, we recommend when you first wake up in the morning to write down the specific details of your dream.
Okay. Next question. And this question is probably going to bring up a couple of additional questions around it. All right. Next is...
What was that last that you brought up? Was that a question?
What am I working on, and what is this all specifically related to?
Yes, as we have mentioned, to fine-tune it and to hone in on exactly what it is you are working on, rather than the general category, to put the details as much as you can remember in the morning of one of your dreams. And to do this when you wake up in the morning, when you remember you had a dream, to make a little book and to write this down, and this will further be able to pinpoint specifics.
Okay. And question from Dave Ferringer. And I'm going to ask some additional questions around Dave's question. And it has to do with Jesus. What does it mean that Jesus died for our sins? Does it mean he died as a result of our sins, or to save us from them? And I should ask, if any of that.
What it means is that he has taken on the particular sins that you have. He has taken them on himself, and he has suffered the consequences and the karma of that, so that you would be able to bypass that and to be able to change and be forgiven in a heartbeat for your sins, and to move on out of that area of sinning and to move past it.
That's what it means. And could you answer if that's true? And how is it true?
How is that true?
Yeah.
He has done that. And for it to be activated, you need to accept his gift.
Does this have something to do with bringing in the six-dimensional matrix, which is called Christ? When we ask about it, you identified it as the Christ consciousness, and that Jesus was the link to the six-dimensional matrix.
That you can step into. You can step into by stepping into it.
Yeah.
Accepting it.
When you accept, your volume has gotten way low. Can you get it to the screen?
Oh, there we go. There we go. Sorry. Thank you for interrupting. Did you follow my question?
Well, say it again.
It has to do with, according to previous questions, and this made sense to me, there's a six-dimensional matrix which the Ra group administrates. Jesus was interfacing in this realm to connect people to the six-dimensional matrix, which
to
we
the Christ
call
consciousness,
Christ,
which the Christ, is in an area of the sixth dimension.
Yes. And that when somebody connects with this, they bypass a lot of their lower levels. And they don't have to work it out because they're connecting
they can
higher.
Step out of, they can step out of their quagma or their some things that they have done that they that are the society and them consider wrong, and they can step out of it and then lead a clean life, ethical life.
Yeah. So when you say that Jesus saves us from our sins,
well,
am I describing the process? Yeah, but am I describing the process where that takes place?
How he does it?
Well, by connecting up to the sixth density matrix of the Christ consciousness and bypassing our lower levels. I mean, I could restate that.
Well, this is getting stepping into the air a bit, but because you don't think, okay, now I'm going to go into the sixth density and I'm going to bypass everything. But essentially, when you are able within your own lifetime to step out of unethical patterns and to move into the Christ consciousness type of action, then you don't have to think of it as, okay, I'm going to the sixth density now, I'm going to leave my density. And if you don't have to think of it that way, you can just think, I've been forgiven, and I don't have to do this anymore, and it feels very refreshing, and I'm forgiven, and now I can move on with a different pattern in my life.
Okay. And Dave's other question was, how does karma relate to sin?
When you do a sin, first of all, you normally keep it from the other person, what you have done that was bad to him, and you can't talk about it, you can't let him know you've done this, you've treated him really badly, had a really bad effect in his life. And so then you are kind of you're on a withhold. You're withholding that from him. And then you go, well, maybe he knows. Oh, my gosh, he said something. Does that mean he knows? And you placed a division between the two of you, and you put yourself out. Side of free and spontaneous interaction with him, because you might reveal this suddenly, or he might say something and you think, oh my God, he knows, or something happens, oh my gosh, he knows, and then you expect retribution from him because you've done something bad to him, so you become paranoid. It's like, oh, he's going to get me, for that. And it begins to mess up your whole relationship with your friend. And then eventually it can lead to some retribution against you because you're expecting it. That's a little bit about how karma works.
Okay. I think I'm understanding it. Another question about Jesus, okay? And I hope I'm paraphrasing this correctly. When at some point Jesus said, it's better to not know about this work than to know about it and walk away from it. And I hope I'm paraphrasing that, and I think I have the meaning there.
Yes.
Could you explain why that's true?
Well, if you know about it, and you've been offered a marvelous step up, a marvelous possibility for having freedom in your life, freedom to communicate, freedom to be open, freedom to give and take. And then you walk away from it. It's a little bit harder to get back to it because you've once rejected it and you've made a pathway towards rejection. And then you might think, well, you know, there might be reasons why I don't deserve it or something. But you're setting a path of action that can be a model for future and make it harder to get into accepting it eventually.
Okay. Is there, and going back to Dave Ferringer's question, I meant to ask this. When we talk about sin, and I don't usually use the word sin, but when you use the word sin, or Jesus uses the word sin, how would you define that?
It would be an action that was against life, or an action that was against connection with others, an action that would pin retribution or hurt, would subject another to something that would make that person harder for that person to continue. An unethical action against another that was unfair.
Thank you. I think that's all our questions for tonight. And we're going to move over to Whole Planet Healing. And if any of you want to join us, it is 712-770-4340, and the PIN is 250-513. 712-770-4340, and the PIN is 250-513. And let me unmute everyone.
Unmuted.
Thank you,
Seattle.
Thank
you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Perry. Love you guys.
Thanks
for joining us. Happy trails.
God bless you all. Stay brave. Be kind. Help yourself.
Stay well.
And say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Whole planet healing.